My friends at MyPillow, my buddy Mike Lindell, told me he was coming out with a brand new product. It's called the new mattress topper. So I got the new mattress topper immediately, and I've been sleeping on it now for a couple of months. It's the best thing you've ever felt in your life. Now, you literally have MyPillow foam for support. It's a transitional foam that helps relieve pressure points, and it's ultra-soft, patented temperature-regulating cover. And I got to tell you, it has a 10-year warranty, a cover that's washable and dryable. It's made in the USA, backed by their 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Once you try this new mattress topper, you put it right over your mattress, you will never sleep better. And right now, you, my radio listeners, you're going to save 30% off when you go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code TOPPER. And by the way, Mike will also give you two standard MyPillows absolutely free. All right, so try MyPillow.com, promo code TOPPER. Promo code TOPPER for this great deal and the best night's sleep you ever had. Hey, it's that time of year for those of you, God forbid, you got to keep your New Year's resolution. What if you're a timeshare owner and you want to get out of your timeshare? Maybe that's at the top of your list, or maybe you made a bad investment over the years. It doesn't matter. Let not your heart be troubled, because the new year is also a reminder that you can get serious about getting rid of this timeshare and doing it right and doing it legally. And Lone Star Transfer is absolutely an amazing group of people. From beginning to end, I highly recommend, if you have any type of timeshare, I want you to contact Lone Star and tell them I told you to call. They'll give you a free, no obligation consultation, and they'll help get you out of your timeshare. They'll do it the right way, the legal way, and it will take very little effort on your part, just by calling pound 250 on your mobile phone and saying the keyword timeshare. That's pound 250 on your cell phone, keyword timeshare. You can check them out online at lonestartransfer.com.
You have the option to receive a one-time auto-dialed text message from iHeartMedia.
All right, glad you're with us. Write down our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of this extravaganza. It is 800-941-SHAWN if you want to join us. I don't even know if I really want to explain, you know, the new talking point. Oh, Hannity and Limbaugh, they tell the... It is so stupid and inaccurate and untrue and made up. One quick point, nobody ever calls me ever to ask me before they either write or say this garbage, but that's been the narrative. And it's so funny because they're so blinded. They got these blinders on, all things Trump, and they've got this prism that they see him through that distorts truth and reality, and they can't even hear themselves what the president is saying on a daily basis. He literally telegraphed every single thing that he was going to do today. I'm not a psychic. And I said, just listen to what he's saying. He's telling you he's going to declare a national emergency. But they're too blinded by their rage every day and their sickness of hating this man that they can't hear. It's they don't want to hear. And then they come up with a conspiracy theory that, well, the president, you know, listens to Rush and Sean and Ann Coulter. Well, okay, he didn't fully listen to Coulter in this particular case. And what they don't know, and it's amazing to me, is not one person in the media has ever figured out, I've known Donald Trump for two decades. We've known each other way beyond two decades. I know him well. I knew him well enough to go out, put all my credibility as a conservative on the line, and tell you he's going to govern conservatively. And there were conservatives, yeah, but Hannity, come on, look at, he supported this. He was pro-choice up until recently, and he donated to Democrats. I said, yeah, I know, he's a New York businessman, and that's kind of how the game's played in New York. Sad. Even he would explain it that way. And the amazing thing is, after 2 years of him being president, they haven't figured out that he means what he says. There's no games going on here. You take a list, conservative originalist justices from my list. Done. Gorsuch, Kavanaugh. We're going to cut taxes. Done. And burdensome regulation, done 15 million times over. We're gonna try and be energy independent. Done. The pipelines continue. Anwar is now open for business. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of high-paying career jobs that will alter the trajectory of American people, the forgotten men and women's lives forever. Remember, the truck drivers were being trained in North Dakota, Texas, and Oklahoma and paid over $100,000 a year to because we've got all this energy that we've never used. We can be the richest nation, except in America, it's not going to be the government unless the new Green Deal comes into effect and they nationalize all industry, which will lead to nothing. It'll lead to the most precipitous decline economically of any country in the history of man. That's how dumb, how dangerous, and how bad this new Green Deal would be for every American. And everybody in the media that is out there assuming, you know, you're just speaking out the other side all day. And there's so many people in the media that they don't even look. Why don't you just figure out what was Trump saying in the lead up to what he did today? Because it was pretty simple. I'll add whatever I have to add. Okay, he wasn't talking about going back to Congress for asking for more. He has talked extensively about how past presidents and others reallocating saved money towards other projects, especially with defense appropriations. 2018, he's now up to $8 billion to build the wall. And for those of you that were doubting, I was saying, just pay attention to what he's saying. You know, it's we're going to get the wall. He mentioned many times, At first glance, I don't like this border security compromise. I was the first person when it was announced it was happening. I said it's garbage because I had sources that knew it was garbage. And it is, but the president, you know, we still have a lot of weak Republicans, unfortunately, and this has not been reported. But some of the Senate Republicans were really going wobbly and their spines were about to break out of fear and worry and concern over taking a tough stance. You know, there are over 30 national emergencies right now in effect in this country. How many of you know? Does anybody in the media ever report that? Right now, 30 national emergencies by past presidents and a couple by this current president. It goes back to Jimmy Carter and Barack Obama and Bill Clinton. Still in effect as a national emergency. This is not unusual in any way, shape, or form. We're building the wall. We're using other methods to fund it. The president said that on Tuesday. Okay, today's Friday. I'll add whatever I have to add. He said that numerous times this week. I don't think there'll be another shutdown. This will be the Democrats' fault. Still considering the national emergency option. Other presidents used it. He said that on Tuesday. Not happy about the border compromise bill. I'm adding things to the bill.
Sir, will you sign Congress's border deal?
I have to study it. I'm not happy about it. It's not doing the trick, but I'm adding things to it. And when you add whatever I have to add, it's all going to happen where we're going to build a beautiful, big, strong wall that's not going to let criminals and traffickers and drug dealers and drugs into our country. It's very simple.
Oh, so it's about life and death? And that we actually have statutes on the books that actually say that a president has the right to build barriers to stop international drug trafficking. Wow, 300 Americans are dying each and every week. Maybe now's a good time to do this. You know, nobody ever talked about this. You know, this horrible garbage bill that we've been warning you about. Okay, it's a seven-month bill. What the president has figured out, okay, they've pretty much given us and allocated $23 billion to spend on everything to protect the border but the wall. Democrats are upset. You know, so we're going to get the sensors and the underground sensors and the X-ray machines and the new technology and the drones, and they've got that money. Well, now the president has, you know, $1.375 billion as he's going to fight in the courts, and he knows this is going to happen. He knew this was going to happen. But he has more money to build. Then the reallocation of funds, as he talked about earlier today, that's even more money to put in the kitty so he can continue to build the wall. He's been saying it all week. Nobody seems to be listening to the fact that he telegraphed every single solitary thing that he was going to do today. Unbelievable. And then people saying, well, you know, all these other people tell him what to do. Well, if he listened to other people, he wouldn't tweet. Because I know at least 300 people that told him stop tweeting, including me at one point during the campaign. I said, you need to. And then look what happened. His social media, he can bypass this corrupt fake news media and go directly to the American people. Maybe 5 to 7 to 10% less would probably help him a lot. Just saying. That'd be my advice. Not that I'm going to be listened to. All the conspiracy. You know, and it's another thing, and I'll explain this in more detail later. I'm a talk show host. We have a free press in America. Being a talk show host, you're in the media. You're part of the press. You know, we do straight reporting. I can produce hours, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of just straight reporting. Maybe it's a natural disaster, or shooting, God forbid, something horrible. You know, we just go into reporter mode. Ask questions. No opinion. Or the investigative reporting that we've done, we're really proud of the stuff we vetted on Obama, you know, when no one else would do it. And, you know, Black Liberation Theology, the Church of GD America, Alinsky, Acorn, Ayers, Dorn, Frank Marshall Davis, all of that. And playing Obama in his, you know, I inhaled enthusiastically. You know, we've done all of that. And then the investigative work we've been doing the last 2 years, culminating with what, you know, former deputy FBI director who's now under a criminal investigation, having been fired for lying, Andrew McCabe, you know, well, there was a scheme, in fact. Yeah, we know that. We know that Comey and Strzok and others, Strzok who calls us the smelly Walmart people, Strzok the guy that interviewed Flynn and Hillary Clinton, we know they wrote Hillary's exoneration and put the fix in for the crimes and the felonies that she committed, violating the Espionage Act, obstructing justice, deleting subpoenaed emails, and cleaning the hard drive, not with a cloth, but with bleach bit, and busting up devices with hammers and removing SIM cards. Those were crimes. They put the fix in because she was the favorite candidate that should win 100 million to zero. And smelly Walmart people that support Trump. And that he was a loathsome human being. And then we know it even got worse than that. So, you know, then we have, you want Russia connections? Well, Bill Clinton, in the middle of Vladimir Putin, we have an FBI spy with great integrity. William Campbell risks his life. Putin has a network inside America. Their goal, to get a foothold in our uranium industry. Uranium One. They want 20% of Uranium One. They're using bribery, extortion, kickbacks, money laundering. And our FBI spy in that network is reporting it all back. And Hillary still votes to allow that to happen. And 20% of our foundational material for uranium goes straight to Putin. And then while that's happening, Bill is trying to meet with nuclear officials in Russia, being paid three times his normal fee for a speech. But he doesn't meet with them. He meets with Vladimir.
Slick Willie.
That sounds to me like Russian collusion. Want more Russia collusion? Okay, I'll give you more. We have a phony. We have Hillary allocating money to legal expenses. That money gets funneled to a op research group called Fusion GPS. They hire a foreign national, Christopher Steele, who hates Trump. And he uses Russian sources. And even he under oath said, I don't know if any of this is true. 50-50, maybe at best. But that becomes the basis. Everyone in the FBI, according to Bruce Orr's testimony, was warned by him that Hillary paid for it. Steele hated Trump, and none of it's verified. But then the Russian lies were peddled to the American people in the lead up to the 2016 election. And nobody in the media ever covers this. But we do investigative reporting. And then they used Hillary's bought and paid for Russian lies to propagandize the American people so they'd vote for her. And then also used it as a FISA warrant. They never verified, corroborated, committed total fraud on the FISA court, not once, but four separate times. And then they used it after the election, part of an insurance policy, to bludgeon Trump, leak government materials, Mr. Comey, to get the appointment of special counsel Mueller. Even Andrew Weissman was briefed with top FBI and DOJ officials in August of 2016. Everybody knew the whole thing was a hoax and phony and unverified. And Clinton bought and paid for, and they lied to everybody. You know, so we do investigative reporting. We do straight reporting. Yeah, we do opinion. We also do sports and gossip. We're like a whole newspaper. We do it all. And we tell you what we do. That's what a talk show host is. And we have sources, too. And I'll never reveal my sources to anybody. It's nobody's business. That's protected by the Constitution. That's protected by our First Amendment, our freedom of the press. You people in the media want to speculate. Nobody's ever figured out one of my sources for anything. But in this case, Donald Trump told you what he was going to do. If you weren't so lazy and overpaid, maybe you would have figured it out. Because he's been saying it for weeks. Makes me laugh. They're so pathetic. Lazy, overpaid. Smoking is not about politics. It's about people. There are 34 million Americans that smoke. But for me, Juul was a game changer. Because you switch to Juul, it's simple, it's satisfying, and no more smell. I watch people all the time. They run outside in the freezing cold. It can be grabbing their cigarette. Well, with Juul, you'll take a quick puff and you're good. That's it. Now, Juul is designed with smokers in mind. From its form to technology, it's easy to use, no buttons, no switches. And the goal of Juul is to impact the lives of adult smokers by providing a satisfying alternative. Switch to Juul. You'll wish you had done it a long time ago. To discover the smoking alternative that is nothing like any e-cig vape you have ever tried, go to this website, juul.com/switchamerica. That's juul.com/switchamerica. Warning, this product contains nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. juul.com/switchamerica. So again, I say to, I don't know why people in the media, why they won't even listen to what the president is saying. This wasn't hard to figure out. Now, I'll be perfectly honest. I didn't come up with any idea for a national emergency way to do it. I know there are 30 in effect. I know it's happened before. I just knew that the president, I just know him. I've watched him over the last 2 years. The president has steadfastly fought hard to keep every promise he's made. Everything from judges and tax cuts and regulations and energy and, you know, national security and trade deals and getting NATO to pay more. And, you know, now he's mentioned we're trying to negotiate a trade deal with China. We did it with Mexico and Canada. I mean, some of our allies in Europe. He just keeps his promises. So, you know, in the last couple of weeks, you know, we ought to put the country before the party to get the wall. Yeah, that would be a good idea, too. Mentioned numerous times, I'm still considering the national emergency option. We're building the wall. We're using other methods to fund it. That was Tuesday. Don't think there'll be another shutdown. It'll be the Democrats' fault. You know what? The compromise is garbage. He didn't say that. He said, I said garbage at first glance. I'm not happy with border security compromise. So he's his own person. You know, I go back to the tweet part of this. If Donald Trump really, you know, all he's done is keep his promises. You know what's interesting to me? Because my name got brought up at the press conference. I'm thinking, he's right. If he started becoming a radical left winger, I couldn't support that. The things he's doing, the things I just mentioned, are things that I have advocated my entire 30 years on radio. I made some changes to opinion, got more mature, you know, grown, more libertarian a little bit, more this here and there. But this is what I've... Tax cuts, originalist, border security, energy independence. Any of you have listened to me for any length of time, ending burdensome regulation, better trade deals, fair trade deals. I've wanted this my whole career. Jeez, these people are so dumb and lazy. All right, 25 till the top of the hour. By the way, we're watching reports of a shooting at a warehouse near Chicago. You know, when are we ever going to do to Chicago what they did in New York under Mayor Rudy Giuliani? Because murders went from 2,500 a year to like as low as like 400 a year. Because you're putting the police resources in areas that are most ridden with crime, high police presence, stop and frisk, and stop this madness. I don't know what the details of this particular shooting are. All right, so back to the president today. And by the way, Newt Gingrich will join us later in the program. We'll also get to the new Green Deal and what a failure it was in one city. I'm going to take on this issue of, you know, me becoming the talking point at all these networks, which is hilarious to me in so many ways and so inaccurate. And they don't even know the president. They don't even listen to what he says in the lead up to what he does. They haven't figured out that he keeps his promises. Anyway, Joe DiGenova wrote on the bill today, I think it was in the New York Daily News where I first saw this, that the Constitution and the Congress have placed the authority firmly with the President of the United States. That's the Constitution and Congress. It cites a pivotal Supreme Court case on executive authority in the 1950s, Youngstown Sheet and Tube Company versus Sawyer struck down Harry Truman's unilateral seizure of the American steel industry. In the concurrence with the majority opinion, he cites Justice Robert Jackson identifying the three categories of executive actions. And, you know, as he cited them, when the president acts pursuant to an express or implied authorization of Congress, his authority is at its maximum. Then he also cites the 2006 Secure Fence Act, which commands the executive branch to take all, quote, take all actions necessary and appropriate to achieve and maintain operational control over the entire international land and maritime borders of the United States, specifically including physical barriers. Immigration Nationality Act grants the president the authority to, quote, suspend the entry of all aliens or any class of aliens as immigrants, non-immigrants, or impose on the entry of aliens any restrictions that he may deem appropriate. And by the way, the funding bill that president signed earlier today, as he declared the national emergency, further clarifies Congress's delegation to the president of authority to take the steps to secure the southern border, reiterating specific authority to construct walls. And then as it relates to the other appropriations, that too. His column goes into a, you know, every administration since Jimmy Carter has invoked national emergency. You know, it's been used dozens and dozens of times since they were formalized with the National Emergencies Act in 1976. Jimmy Carter invoked that act repeatedly. In fact, there are 31 national emergencies, many from past presidents, still in force today. You know, so it's absurd. You know, as he wrote, Joe DiGenova writes, it's absurd to argue that this president has the authority to declare a national emergency over human rights abuses in Nicaragua, but not in response to ongoing humanitarian and security crisis of human trafficking, drug importation, unchecked illegal immigration of our own border. You know, in this case, the emergency powers Congress has already delegated to the president. He's going to win in the Supreme Court. Now, and in the interim, he continues the mission. In other words, the wall continues to be built. As he said, they have finished the wall. And other areas still get to be prepared. It was nice, but it's so sad to see yet again. We've interviewed many of these angel moms and dads, but he highlighted one in particular angel mom today as he declared this national emergency. And you just look at the numbers. It's just sad. And how these angel moms are standing up. They've lost their children. They don't want what happened to their children to happen to anybody else. They've been begging him to hold the line on this. Her husband was killed. Beautiful children don't see their fathers. That's permanent separation. I don't know if it's connected at all. The stock market apparently went up a lot today after the announcement. Now, as it relates to the use of the $8 billion from other government agencies, well, the nonpartisan Congressional Research Service has just green-lighted the president's plan to tap that $8 billion from other government agencies. Now, if you look at what this group is, the Congressional Research Service works exclusively for the United States Congress, providing policy, legal analysis to committees and members of both the House and Senate, regardless of party affiliation. Anyway, it looks like, you know, the first official legal option on using these monies. It looks now like a Trump win because the Washington Examiner is now reporting, despite promises from Democratic leaders to sue to stop Trump, Well, the nonpartisan Congressional Research Service has determined that he may move. In other words, that the move of the money may be legal and effective. That's their update, their most recent report. Actually said that Congress actually wrote the legal path for Trump to follow and tap into Pentagon construction money to build the wall. That's at least $8 billion. I have a source that's telling me it might be as much as $10 billion. In other words, what I've been saying all week, I didn't care that much what happened with the bill. I know the president knew it was garbage and said it was garbage. But he just knew that he gave Congress every opportunity to do their job, and they won't do it. And he's got an oath to fulfill, and he's going to do it. And that's why he declared a national emergency. And that's where the money's going to come from, and he's going to win. And in the interim, he still has the money Congress authorized. By the way, it takes a lot of time to build this stuff. Losing 300 people a week, 70,000 Americans killed last year from drugs. If that's not an emergency by definition, what is? I mean, how many more families have to suffer? And by the way, it's only 98% of people that want to cross illegally. They're just not following the process. They want a better life for themselves and their kids. The president was able to get rid of a lot of the poison pills that had been reported were in the bill about, like, small town mayors. That was taken out, I've been told, with authority. We have $23 billion total for border security. That's money allocated for non-wall buildings. That's great because we need all the other stuff and the drones and, you know, detection devices and dogs and, you know, it costs a lot of money. Richard Shelby said, yeah, that $23 billion, you know, can be built on to, in many ways to protect the border. There's another law we've been citing, USC 10, USC 284. That seems pretty suited. It says that specifically the purposes by which types of support for the president to give agencies of the United States. And it goes on to describe instances where the purposes for which the secretary may provide support under subsection A for other departments, agencies of the federal government or state, local or tribal law enforcement agencies. Oh, paragraph 7, construction of roads and fences. Oh, that would be barriers. Installation of lighting to block drug smuggling corridors across international boundaries of the U.S. The cross-reference subsection A, 10 U.S.C. 284, support other agencies. The Secretary of Defense may provide support for counter-drug activities or activities to counter transnational organized crime or any other department or agency of the federal government or of any state, local, tribal or foreign law enforcement agency for any purpose set forth as applicable if, and it goes on to explain official circumstances, counter drug activities or activities to counter transnational organized crime. Oh, bingo, president wins again. That was first brought to my attention by Senator Mike Lee of Utah. Mitch McConnell says the president's decision to announce the emergency action is the predictable, understandable consequence of Democrats' decision to put partisan obstruction ahead of the national interest. I urge my Democratic colleagues to quickly get serious, put partisanship aside, work with the president and our Homeland Security experts to provide the funding needed to secure the borders as we begin the next round of appropriations. By the way, Bozo O'Rourke weighing in, saying, first he said earlier this week that walls don't protect people. Then why do so many members of Congress, why do so many Hollywood actors and actresses, why do they have walls around their houses or fencing or armed guards? But that's for them, not for we, the smelly Walmart people, as Peter Strzok said. And Bozo then goes on to say, that he wants to tear down all existing walls.
You know, would you, if you could, would you take the wall down now? Here.
Yes.
Like you have a wall.
Absolutely.
Knock it down.
I'd take the wall down.
And do you think the city, you think if there's a referendum here in this city, that would pass?
I do.
Yeah. Bozo. Party of, let's see, late-term abortion even while a woman is giving birth. Dilation. Yeah, you could still... And in the case of Northam, well, we'll deliver the baby and we'll make the baby comfortable. Then the mother gets to decide whether we'll resuscitate the kid or not. Huh? That's the party? Party of 70% taxes? They want 70 to 90% taxes, full, complete statism, redistribution? This is the party now that is, you know, wants to, after you paid all your taxes, maybe whatever you save, now Elizabeth Warren wants to come back and take the rest. The party that wants to eliminate all private health insurance for people. Kamala, Kirsten Gillibrand, Bernie Sanders. That's it. How'd the last health care work out? I know they're promising everything. You know, they're going to nationalize the healthcare industry, nationalize the energy sector, only renewable, clean, renewable energy. That means no more gas, no more oil, no more coal, the lifeblood of our economy. 10 years and a bill of rights guaranteeing a job, sustaining wage, family leave, medical leave, vacations, retirement security, K through 12. No, K through whatever grade you feel like going to. You're going to be guaranteed healthy government food and healthy, clean water, government water and clean air. And you, everyone gets free housing. Everyone, we're going to have no business because we'll end all free monopolies. Economic security, even if you're unwilling to work. And they may not be able to do it right away, but they want to get rid of cows because of flatulence. And airplanes are gone. But the good news is they're going to replace it with high-speed trains in 10 years. Can't wait to take the train. All aboard the Ocasio Express to Europe. All aboard the Ocasio Express to the Great Wall of China. New Zealand, Australia. Look, this is simple. Cartels, drugs, young girls trafficked into prostitution, human trafficking, 4,000 homicides in 2 years, 30,000 sexual assault victims in 2 years, 100,000 Americans victims of assault by illegal immigrants in 2 years, 300 Americans dying every week in this country because of drugs smuggled across that southern border, the 90% of heroin. What are the Democrats fighting for here? And Pelosi's dumb comment, well, the next Democrat will declare a national emergency on guns. No, you're not going to be able to do that. You're usurping the actual language of the Constitution. Scary how they don't even understand the very laws of the simple constitution of this country. It's not that hard to understand if you actually take the time to read it. You know, angel moms and dads were there. By the way, the Obama executive order, you know, he used one too. After he said he couldn't, he didn't have the authority, did it anyway. Nobody complained then. Anyway, there are $8 billion that the president is now appropriating and making available towards the construction of the border wall. You know, Jonathan Turley predicted. He's a Democrat, constitutional expert. He was this is in the Daily Caller. He was on Fox and Friends. And he went on to say there are two issues for the court, the authority, the source of the authority to declare the emergency, and the source of funds. On the source of the authority, they will lose in spectacular fashion because they gave the authority to the president in 1976, which I just read. And Trump and other presidents have virtually unfettered authority to declare an emergency. On the funds, Democrats have a much more difficult time and challenging. Remember, the president can start construction with the money Congress just gave him. And even if they knock out one or two of those sources, he's got plenty more to go. Pretty far down the road. It's a huge Trump win. Anyone that tells you otherwise. And he kept his promise, and he's going to finish it. You know, and he did the right thing. And nobody's, I'm telling you, they're not going to stop him. They can play all the games they want. One thing they're not fighting for is you, we, the people, our safety, our security against cartels and gang members and drug dealers and human traffickers and even the traffickers of young women into prostitution. They're not fighting against that. The life or death issue of heroin, 90% crossing that border, or fentanyl. A lot of ground to get to today. I'm going to deal with the media and they're trying to make this. They don't know this president at all. If they just listen to the words he uses, you know, I figured out what the president was going to do. I listened to what he said publicly. Secret given away to lazy, overpaid, so-called objective journalists that they are not. All right, we have Newt Gingrich coming up, much more. I'll address this coming up at our news roundup hour.
I'm going to be signing a national emergency. And it's been signed many times before. It's been signed by other presidents. From 1977 or so, it gave the presidents the power. There's rarely been a problem. They sign it. Nobody cares. I guess they weren't very exciting. But nobody cares. They sign it for far less important things in some cases, in many cases. We're talking about an invasion of our country with drugs, with human traffickers, with all types of criminals and gangs. So we're going to be signing today and registering national emergency. And it's a great thing to do because we have an invasion of drugs, invasion of gangs, invasion of people. And it's unacceptable. And by signing the national emergency, something signed many times by other presidents, many, many times, President Obama, in fact, we may be using one of the national emergencies that he signed having to do with cartels, criminal cartels. It's a very good emergency that he signed, and we're going to use parts of it in our dealings on cartels. So that would be a second national emergency, but in that case, it's already in place. And what we really want to do is simple. It's not like it's complicated. It's very simple. We want to stop drugs from coming into our country.
All right. Hour two, Sean Hannity show. That was the president from earlier today doing, you know, it's so funny. I'm watching the media say, well, Hannity and Limbaugh, they're telling the president has stated it all publicly, what he is going to do if only the people would just listen in the news media to what he said. I mean, this week he went way overboard to say, I will add what I have to add. What part of that didn't you understand? Even saying that it looks like I'm going to have to go the emergency route or using or allocating the funds as past presidents have and reallocating them to build the wall, which he explained in detail today. And there are 30 such national emergencies in effect as of February 1st of this year, some going back as far as Jimmy Carter. And that would include every president since. They act like this is the first time that this has ever been done. We have cited statutory law that the president, under the Constitution, laws passed by Congress, has the authority to stop international drug trafficking into our borders and building barricades is actually in U.S. Code 284 and a number of other avenues. So after they go judge shopping in California or wherever and then go to the Ninth Circuit, it's going to be a constitutional question, fairly simple. What is the powers of the president under his role and authority as commander in chief, separation of powers issues, and will the justices look at the law as it is written and see that plainly the president has the authority to do all of this because it's that simple. All right, joining us now to discuss this and a whole host of other issues, former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. We have currently 30 national emergencies still in effect by past presidents, including this one, going back to Jimmy Carter, as I said, Mr. Speaker. Why only this one? Does it bother the Democratic Party?
Well, because Donald Trump's doing it. I mean, I don't think this is very complicated.
It's really that simple, look, isn't it? No matter what he...
It's that simple.
If he cured cancer, they'd be angry at him, I'm pretty sure.
That's exactly right. Well, they'd say, why didn't you also do Alzheimer's? You know? I think you have to start with understanding that every single dollar he's going to spend has already been allocated by Congress. So he's not inventing money. He's not doing anything dictatorial. It's not a threat to the rule of law. I read some of the wilder, more hysterical comments. He has the authority to, for example, spend the money that we seize through drug asset forfeitures. He's now directing the money in this direction. Part of the reason it's called the executive branch is that he does have executive authority within a framework that Congress approves. Now, if the Democrats want to stop him, what they have to do is they would have to pass a law saying that he cannot do it. And the problem, of course, they have is it is impossible to override his veto. I mean, he would just cheerfully veto the bill. So in the absence of Congress passing a law saying you cannot do this, he is operating exactly within the principles of the system. And I think that to suggest anything else is frankly just a falsehood.
Well, it seems if 90% of America's heroin comes into the country And we now are seeing more and more fentanyl being smuggled into the country, which is killing, heroin's killing 300 kids a week on average in the United States. Fentanyl is killing people instantly. One of a great back of my mind, what would keep me up at night kind of fear is fentanyl in, you know, laced in the water system somewhere or in the food delivery system somewhere, because it's so small and so destructive and so deadly. I really fear what could be done with that. We also have the cartels. We have gang members. We've had over 4,000 homicides and murders, and then we've had over 30,000 sexual assaults in the last 2 years and over 100,000 violent assaults by illegal immigrant criminals. Now, I wanted to be clear, not the 98% that don't abide by our laws or respect our borders, that just want a better life for them and their families. That's 98%. But the 2% are involved in drug dealing, killing, human trafficking, sex trafficking, young girls. Well, that's what we need to stop.
Right, but I think we also have, let's go to the basics. We have every right to control our border. We're a sovereign nation. Part of being a sovereign nation is you get to define your border. And I think this is one of the things that people tend to forget. And so I'm actually going to go a step further than you do and say, look, I think it's right. It's totally okay for the United States to say, we're going to get total control of our border. We're going to allow people to come in, as the president has said. He is for legal immigration. Most legal immigrants, by the way, are very much against those who break the law and try to jump the line because they think it's cheating. And they think it's exactly the opposite of what they did, because they obeyed the law and they were patient and they did the right thing. So I want to start with the first principle. Does the United States have the right to define and control its border? Well, that's the definition of a country. I mean, if you can't define who you are and you can't control your border, you're not a country. And I think this starts there. The president has concluded that while it would be better to have the Congress act in a mature way, pass something positive, that the current Congress is incapable of doing that. And so he's exercising executive authority within a totally legal framework to reallocate money that already has been approved by Congress and to move it to this particular project. And I have zero doubt that in the end he will be upheld by the Supreme Court.
And the great part of it is, and nobody likes the bill. The bill's a typical Washington swamp bill, and, you know, they spend too much money. And they tried to lard this up, too, with obstacles for the president, although they were able, as I understand it now, to get a lot of that removed, which is pretty good. But if we follow the law, and there's any number of them, including 10 U.S.C. 284, Section B7 and beyond, you know, where it literally construction of roads, fences, installation, barriers, installation, lighting to block drug smuggling. That gives the exact purpose to the president of the United States. So I will assume the Ninth Circuit won't follow the text of the law passed by Congress, which is constitutional, or the fact that as commander in chief, the president has the authority, especially because he has a sworn oath to protect the country. There are people dying, and we are being targeted by massive amounts of drugs. And finally, somebody has said, I've had enough, and is willing to go to the mat. And in the interim, he's going to have all these extra monies that he explained earlier today, up to $8 billion on top of the $1.375 billion. And he's going to continue construction while this works its way through the courts. And I would believe the Supreme Court has to deal with this. I don't think they get away with ducking a national emergency that deals with the power of the presidency and the role as commander-in-chief of the president.
No, and remember, in the bill that was just passed, they had a dramatic increase in the money that's available for ICE to control the border. They had a dramatic increase in the entire Department of Homeland Security. They had a substantial increase in the number of spaces set aside for illegal aliens that are criminal. So there were a lot of very specific big wins in that bill. And there were some things that got muddled. I mean, early on, I had these reports from good friends of mine who said, you know, that the way the bill's been written, any mayor can stop the fence in their city. That's not the case. That's where the Democrats were. But the fact is, by the time they got done, it said you have to consult with the mayor And then, frankly, if the mayor doesn't want to go along, you consult it and you go ahead and do it anyway. So I think that on every single one of those things, as I understand it, Senator McConnell got them to back down. He got them to take out the poison pills. And I would say on balance that this is, you know, when you write these kind of bills, they're never pretty. You're never happy with it. And it's not an exercise in good government. But I would say that on balance, this turns out to be a victory for Trump. And more importantly, these are key steps in protecting the country and in strengthening the Department of Homeland Security.
Let me move on to the other big issue that I spent a lot of time on television last night getting into in a very deep way, and that is the revelation, a story we have been investigating and proving for 2 years, that there is a deep state. There were a group of people that conspired to put the fix in and not indict Hillary Clinton for a real obvious crime she committed, the Espionage Act, certainly obstruction of justice when she had subpoenaed emails and she deleted them and she acid washed the hard drive and beat up her devices and removed SIM cards. So they had a favored candidate. And then they used her bought and paid for Russian dossier to influence the American people to get a FISA warrant. It was never verified. They never told the court that she had paid for all of this. It was unverified, uncorroborated. They put a FISA warrant in. They wouldn't have gotten through without it. So they committed a fraud on the court. They lied to the American people with that false information before the election. Then they lied to a court to spy on a Trump campaign associate. And then they used it as a roadmap, still unverified, to bludgeon President Trump as an insurance policy after he got elected.
Look, I think one of the things everybody in America has to come to grips with is that President Trump represented a rebellion by the American people against a national establishment that was quite willing to break the law and do whatever it had to do and has been doing it ever since. I think, for example, in the House, if the Democrats really want to move forward with committees to investigate, quote, you know, Russian influence, the Republicans ought to say, terrific, let's start with the Clinton Foundation, with Bill Clinton going to Moscow to get $500,000. Let's start with the Clinton dossiers that were paid for by the Clinton campaign, and let's start by interviewing various FBI agents who were clearly involved in this. It is, I think, one of the great scandals. I mean, if the news media was not so deeply, passionately anti-Trump, they would be having a field day right now with one of the greater scandals in American history.
Yeah. Let me ask you. By the way, you've now started a podcast. What are you trying to take over my business? Are you gonna? Am I gonna be a guest on your podcast? How's that gonna work?
Well, I hope you will at some point. I just decided that podcasts have become so popular, and that they're such a positive way to tell stories. It's called Newt World, and people can go to newtworld.com or they can go wherever they get their podcasts. It's free. They can sign up for it. We'll do about one a week. The first one we released today is on George Washington. And as you know, I've written three novels about Washington and done a movie called The First American about Washington. And so I'm going to take positive ideas. We just taped this week a long interview with Patrick Kennedy, which is one of the most emotional and powerful interviews on addiction and recovery and his family. And it's just remarkable. So it's a vehicle where I can try to go back to sort of being Newt the teacher, explore ideas and explore specific things that I think will be of great interest to people. And every week we're going to visit something new and different. We just finished interviewing some doctors who are doing gene therapy, and in one case have developed an approach where children who are blind literally now can see. I mean, it's like a miracle. And so I think people will find these to be different than the normal political stories and different than the things we fight over in Washington. There's a lot going on in the world that's worth talking about beyond politics.
All right. And next time we'll have you on, obviously, we got a lot to talk about with the new Green Deal.
Sure.
Newt Gingrich, thanks for being with us. Congrats on the podcast. And 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. A lot more of the details that we haven't gotten into. Also, the Green Deal strikes again, and we'll have a full report on that as well. And your calls coming up throughout the day right here this Friday, Breaking News Day on the Sean Hannity Show.
We should do it because we should lead. We should do it because that is what this nation is about. We should do it because we are a country founded on ideals of a culture that is innovative, that cares for our brothers and sisters across this country. We should do it because we are an example to the world. That is why we should do it. And we need to save ourselves, and we can save the rest of the world with us. That is why we should do it. And that's why we define the scope of this resolution to be so broad and to be so comprehensive. Because we are outlining the Green New Deal. And in the spirit of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, we have the Green New Deal and we have Green New Deal projects.
Our planet is in peril, and we need to be bold. It's one of the reasons why I signed on to the resolution, a co-sponsor of the resolution for the Green New Deal. And there's a lot of people now that are blowing back on the Green New Deal. They're like, oh, it's impractical. Oh, it's too expensive. Oh, it's all of this. If we used to govern our dreams that way, we would have never gone to the moon. God, that's impractical. You see that ball in the sky? That's impractical. And when the planet has been in peril in the past, who came forward to save Earth from the scourge of Nazi and totalitarian regimes? We came forward. Who came forward to save the planet from, or continents from financial ruin? We came forward with the Marshall Plan.
Financing this, is it all through government? Is it just, how are you envisioning financing it that it doesn't end up with the rank and file taxpayer?
So there's a couple of things. One is that I think one way that the right does try to mischaracterize what we're doing as though it's like some kind of massive government takeover. Mm-hmm. Obviously, what we're trying to do is, well, obviously it's not that, because what we're trying to do is release the investments from the federal government to mobilize those resources across the country. So how do we get there? It can come across a wide range of things. It could be a Tennessee Valley Authority style public programs, but it could also be public-private partnerships. It can work down on a municipal level. There could be some potential contracting involved. So it's not as though the federal government's going to wave a wand and say, we're going to do it all ourselves. Secondly, I think one of the big issues, too, is that we have to really address the fact that there's been this broken metaphor of the government as this one-in, one-out piggy bank that Republicans like to say applies to Democratic right. programs, but when it's their turn at the helm, they just cut whatever check that they want to cut, which is what they did with the tax cut bill. However, the tax cut bill, they lied about in terms of saying that it will generate economic activity. We know that for every dollar you cut in taxes, you get just a couple cents back. But for every dollar that you invest in infrastructure, in building, in right. jobs, you get more than a dollar back.
All right, now, okay, what happens when the Green New Deal comes to a neighborhood near you? Now, remember, they want to do all of this in 10 years, but the planet is over in 12 years. Eliminate all fossil fuels. That means no oil, no gas, no coal, no nuclear energy. It's going to be 100% clean, renewable energy. And the promise, the platitudes, the bumper stickers, oh, don't worry, but just trust us. 187 million Americans will lose their health plans because they are going to provide high-quality health care. That's their promise. Keep your doctor plan, pay less. I think I'll keep my plan. They're going to promise every American, a Bill of Rights, a job, every single American, a sustaining wage, family leave, medical leave, vacations, retirement security. They are now going to not just provide education K through 12. No, that's going to include higher education, trade schools. Everybody will be guaranteed clean air, water, and healthy government food. You're going to have guaranteed high quality health care. You're going to have guaranteed government affordable housing. You're going to have an economic environment free of monopolies. We'll have the government takeover of industry, in other words. You're going to have economic security for those unable or unwilling to work. Oh, what happens if nobody wants to work? Just wondering on that side. Then, of course, the goal is to get rid of cows, and predicted by, you know, vegan Spartacus Booker that he's going to get rid of cows. He's a vegan, and it's, you know, soon to be eliminated. I'm beginning to think maybe I'm going to buy some cows, you know, freeze them. They could be a very high value one day. And airplanes. But we're going to replace them all with high-speed trains. That might take a little bit longer to get rid of the cows and the airplanes, they say, just a little bit longer. So maybe 12 years for that. And the high-speed trains, I'm sure they will all be up, built, running all across the country, from America to Australia, from America to Asia, from America to Europe, from America to anywhere you want to go, because we won't have airplanes anymore. Now, what really happens when a Green New Deal project comes to a neighborhood near you? Well, we actually have. FoxNews.com put up a pretty big article on this. Massive East Coast solar project generates fury from neighbors in Virginia. Goes on to talk about how a renewable energy company, S-Power, they're trying to build the biggest solar project on the East Coast, 500-megawatt solar farm, 6,000 acres in Virginia. Neighbors are not particularly happy about it. Many saying that they would have to leave. And what does it mean for the people in that area? Joining us now, Kevin McCarthy is a retired music teacher, former executive producer at the USO, serving as a spokesman for concerned citizens of Spotsylvania. And Sean Fogarty is a retired naval officer, also serving as a spokesperson for concerned citizens in this group. His background is in engineering. And anyway, they formed a group to fight against the solar industry, and especially the 1.8 million panels over 6,000 acres, which is half the size of New York City. That would be in Virginia, in the heart, by the way, of historic war battlefields. Anyway, gentlemen, welcome to the program. Tell, what is the status now of this new Green Deal massive solar panel project?
Well, Sean, this is Kevin. The status is that actually the Planning Commission of Spotsylvania County just a couple of weeks ago on the 16th of January actually recommended denial of the largest portions of this. There's three sites. There's the site A and stuff out the 5,000 acres. Site B is...
By the way, I noticed, I see pictures of it, and it looks pretty squared off. Did they cut down all those trees to open up that field?
The current owners of the properties, of the land, actually have been cutting down the trees in anticipation of potential sale of the lands to S-Power.
Oh, so they killed the trees in the process.
Yeah, oh, well, that's 6,000 acres of greenhouse gas reducing trees being taken down, converting it to a massive power plant, theoretically to save the greenhouse the CO2 emission, right?
Right.
So that's kind of a weird way of doing it, right? Well, we're going to just cut down 6,000 acres of trees and put up a greenhouse gas reducing plant, power plant.
All right, then, let's get your point of view, and then we'll go to Sean. Go ahead.
Well, thanks for having us on, Sean. The thing that bugs me is that we have these politicians, and, of course, this project has been in the works for a couple of years. They come up with these great ideas, but they don't really look at the unintended consequences here. There's heavy federal subsidies for renewables, heavy state incentives we have here that actually exempt 80% of our taxes, our local taxes, our county cannot collect on a facility like this. And so you end up with a facility being put in an area that doesn't really have that much sunshine. The other top 10 in the country are all in the desert southwest. And so this ends up being in an area that really shouldn't be with trees, wildlife, protected streams.
So wait a minute. So they're going
to try and plop this thing in here.
And you don't even get a lot of sunshine.
No, it's the worst. We're basically in the same band that Montana is in terms of solar irradiance that the DOE puts out. And you would never put a plant like this here without these huge subsidies, so that it gets thrown in here. And actually the local tax base gets very little benefit from it because of that. Our state is also, Governor Northam is really into renewables, and they've waived 80% of the taxes. So that our local tax base really takes a hit because of this, and our taxes could potentially even go up.
Well, and if it fails, which you're predicting it might very well fail, then what happens? Then we go back to the old system. You know, part of this Green New Deal, too, Kevin, is that we're going to rebuild every home and every building in America. But we'll just start with three buildings in New York City, the Empire State Building, the Chrysler Building, and the new Freedom Tower. How many years is it going to take to rebuild those?
Boy, that's kind of just strikes me as a pretty preposterous idea that we're just going to retrofit everything. And as you said, we're going to eliminate planes. We're going to have high-speed rail all across the country. I mean, the whole thing is the whole thing is just pie in the sky.
Yeah. And, well, they're claiming they got 67% of people in the area supporting it. Is that true?
That poll was taken by S Power, and we actually had members of our group, and there's almost 2,000 people on our mailing lists and on our Facebook pages. Many of those people were called by that that polling company, and if they found out you were at all against the potential plant for any reason, they just said, "Well, thanks very much, and have a very nice day." That is a slanted poll for sure.
Well,
I'm surprised
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, this is just, to me, all of this is pie in the sky. All of this, and by the way, I'm an all-of-the-above guy. If you come up with a better, cheaper way for us, cleaner way to do things with energy and, you know, not have to cut down a million trees and eliminate wildlife and even potentially hurt water sources, et cetera, if you can do it, do it. You're going to be the richest person on earth, but we have not perfected any of these deals. But if you want to do it, people ought to be able to decide. But it is not, it is a small, small segment of our population that they're paying a massive amount of money for. And it's not even proven that it's going to work. And the next thing is, well, then when you include the jobs and every home being rebuilt and the elimination of airlines and the elimination of, you know, and rebuilding every home and them taking over the healthcare industry, but promising the best healthcare ever, and taking over the education industry and the energy industry, and preventing, you know, the use of our biggest resource, the engine of our economy, our oil, our gas, and our coal, to me, is going to end to an economic decline the likes of which the world has never seen. Forget about just the United States. But, guys, thank you very much for keeping us up to date on it. We appreciate it. All right, as we continue, our news roundup coming up at the top of the hour. All right, let's get to the phones. Then we have our news roundup, information overload hour. Steve is in Chicago. Steve, hey, how are you? Glad you called.
How are you, Mr. Hannity? Thank you for taking my call. I've been listening to you for a while, first time calling.
Well, I'm glad you called. Welcome aboard.
I have a question, comment type of thing. I heard Andrew McCabe, and he's talking, and he's writing books. And I just have one question. I've heard of the Son of Sam law, and I thought it was illegal to profit from a book movie deal that's written about a crime. This guy's under criminal prosecution from lying from everybody. He's lied to everybody from A to Z. And he's going to write a book about his crimes? Well, I mean, he got kicked out of the FBI, lost his pension. He's on the doorstep of going to the joint. How does this guy get to write a book and make money off it? It doesn't make any sense to me.
And yeah, by the way, you're right in your analysis. Son of Sam law is, this was, I don't remember, 70s or 80s. I mean, I used to follow this every single day. I was obsessed as a kid with reading newspapers. But it's designed, a law designed to keep criminals from profiting from the publicity of their crimes. And, you know, he was the 44 caliber shooter, and he was going around and putting fear into the hearts of all these young people at the time that were going to discotheques and clubs in New York City. And, you know, he'd strike in all these different places, and they finally, thankfully, got this guy. And I think is still in jail today, although Hinckley, I think, has been released, the guy that shot Reagan. Yeah, it really, yeah, exactly. You know, one of the things that we'll do tonight, one of the things that we'll do tonight on Hannity is that I'm going to go through, you know, what did the IG report say about Andrew McCabe? That he's a liar. That this guy lies repeatedly. All right, just to update everybody, I mentioned earlier this shooting at this warehouse outside of Chicago in Aurora. And we now know that the shooter has, well, they're not saying the word capture. The shooter has been apprehended. We know four police officers have been shot in this incident, multiple others. We don't have numbers at this point. Multiple injuries, no numbers yet as to fatalities. The descriptions of the scene were absolutely horrific, that he was shooting everybody, everywhere. Apparently had some green light on whatever rifle apparently that this guy was using. All right, news roundup next. All right. right, news roundup, information overload. We have a lot of stories we're following. Linda, hasn't this been an insane news week?
It has indeed.
You know, the thing that really frustrates me is that I want to go back to this whole issue of the media and saying Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, they're the ones, they influence the president, they're the influencers. Did you get that question? I think it came from NBC earlier today.
MSNBC?
Yeah, that
MSNBC,
conspiracy channel,
yeah.
And,
uh-huh.
Yeah, and Chris Cuomo was saying it on his show on CNN last night.
Fake news CNN, yeah, we got that too.
Okay, and they're all claiming, well, why don't you play the question and the president's answer?
Mr. President, could you tell us...
It should have never happened. Okay.
Mr. President, could you tell us to what degree some of the outside conservative voices helped to shape your views on this national emergency?
I would talk about it. Look, Sean Hannity has been a terrific supporter of what I do, not of me. If I changed my views, he wouldn't be with me. Rush Limbaugh, I think he's a great guy. He's like, I can speak for 3 hours without a phone call. Try doing that sometime. For 3 hours he speaks. He's got one of the biggest audiences in the history of the world. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. Try speaking for 3 hours without taking calls. Taking calls is easy. Okay, I'll answer this one, I'll answer that one. He goes for 3 hours, and he's got an audience that's fantastic. Wait. They don't decide policy.
We don't decide policy. You know, I'm going to explain it. I touched on it earlier today. And this gets funny to me because, you know, first I have to almost explain what my job is because these people are so stupid and they do so little work for the amount of money most of those people get paid. It is absolutely outrageous. I'm telling you. I know people in media, many of them. They are extraordinarily lazy, number one, and they're all, myself included, overpaid. And they don't know what my job is. I've explained it to them. I've explained it a lot. We have freedom of the press in this country. First Amendment, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of religion. As a talk show host, how many hours and hours, Linda, would we be able to produce of me just doing straight reporting based on breaking news of the day? Maybe, you know, God forbid a shooting occurs or we just got involved in a war or a natural disaster or something. Just straight news. How many hours of radio and TV could we produce if somebody wanted to hear me just doing straight reporting? A lot, right?
Hundreds.
Hundreds of hours. I'm 30 years of radio, 23 years of Fox. We have done investigative reporting as well. That's part of the role of being a talk show host as part of a free press. You know, we vetted Obama. Nobody else dared go near Frank Marshall Davis and Jeremiah Wright and the Church of GD America and Acorn and Alinsky and Dorn and Ayers and Black Liberation Theology. We did their job. They wouldn't go near it. So we do investigative reporting. What have we been doing the last 2 years? We've been slowly unpeeling every single layer of the onion. And we have exposed, with a lot of help from all the names that you know that are on this show and on Hannity regularly, we have exposed the biggest abuse of power corruption scandal, what is known as the Russian hoax. Greg Jarrett's book captures it all, the illicit scheme to clear Hillary Clinton and frame Donald Trump. It's all there. We've gone into detail and exposed even with the undercover FBI agent, the Uranium One scandal. We have gone into detail about the FISA abuse scandal. We have gone into detail how Hillary Clinton literally was saved by a few upper echelon FBI people, Comey and Strzok, when in fact, if you did the thing she did, you would be in jail. And then how her bought and paid for dossier, how they committed a fraud on the FISA courts. And they used it, number one, the dossier, the Russian lies to propagandize the American people first. And they used it then secondly to get a FISA warrant to a Trump campaign associate, which backdoored them into the entire Trump campaign. And then they had an insurance policy. Remember, they all thought that Hillary should win 100 million to zero. And we're just a bunch of smelly Walmart people. We expose that. You know, look at the other issues where we've been right over my career. I've been right and so many in the media wrong. Richard Jewell didn't fit the profile of the lone bomber because he lived with his mother. Or taking the time to actually go and meet the Duke lacrosse families, a couple of them, and the kids that were being accused of something that they had never done. I don't think many in the media spent the time investigating that before they rushed to judgment. No due process, no presumption of innocence. You know, we can continue. You know, what happened in Ferguson, what happened in Missouri, what happened at UVA, and so many other cases. So we do news, straight news. We do investigative reporting. We also, on this program, we give strong opinions. You know, I can tell you right now that I do support President Trump. What he is doing, I have advocated for my entire career. Low taxes, less regulation, border security. If I went over the tapes over the years, build the wall first. How many times do I say you always get the spending increase, you never get the tax decrease? Never. That's in the back end of the deal. You always get the amnesty, you never get the wall. Because I've been doing this so long, I know how they work. You know, part of a free press is part of having talk show hosts like me. I use my own sources. All these people speculating about, in this case, it is so stupid. Now, the first thing I would say to anybody is, well, I use sources. We work the phones how many hours a day, Linda, just to get information about what's really going on, right?
Every day, many hours.
I'm never going to tell anybody in the New York Times or a fake news CNN or conspiracy TV MSNBC, I'll never confirm or deny who my sources are. It's none of your business. You want to give me your sources or maybe the people you go to make up the BS that you report that turns out to be false, you know, a very high percentage of the time? You know, same thing is, you know, give me your sources. Who do you talk to? What was your conversation about? You know, same with friends and family. You know, I'm not, it's none of your business, is my answer. But you don't reveal who your sources are, or else you're never going to be able to get information. You know, everybody has speculated. And I can say this, and Linda, you can back me up on this. There's been so much speculation. I've known Donald Trump for over 2 decades, know him well. That's why I very, very strongly assured people that he would govern as a conservative. I similarly, you know, how did I know that it was going to work out exactly the way this immigration bill worked out? Because he told us. He said it. I'll add what I have to add. I'm leaning towards a national emergency. There are other monies I can use. He said all of those things in the lead up to what he did earlier today. Now, I know that he is tenacious, unrelenting. He has kept every other promise that he makes. He fights hard to keep his promises. So it wasn't hard to figure out. I didn't need any sources for my prediction because he said it all publicly. And if you people would stop hating him, you cannot see beyond the blinders and the prism of hatred you have built up in your mind about this president. But if you look objectively, you'd see, well, he told you ahead of time what he was going to do. It should not have been a surprise to a single American. You know, not one, I can tell you this, not one person has ever, you know, gotten anywhere close to what relationship I may or may not have with the president since he's gotten elected or before even. Not even close. And the speculation has been rampant. Now, I was able to predict exactly what he'd do here because he said it all publicly, and you people are so blinded in your hatred for him that you're too lazy to just listen because he's telegraphing as clear as he can. I'll add what I have to add. Well, how's he going to do that? And then he specifically mentioned the two ways. You know, he said it over and over and over and over again publicly that I'm seriously looking at a national emergency. And the problem with these news people is with this hate and these blinders and this prism which they look at him through, they don't understand this president. They, you know, they don't see that he's kept all these promises. They don't even see any success. The biggest tax cuts or the judges that he's appointed or the regulations that he said he'd get rid of. And I can go on and on. I don't even have enough time to go through the list of promises made and kept. But in the end, and this other point that, oh, well, he listens to others. He actually does listen to others, and I can speak in my generally in my 20-plus years I've known him, and he once was a little more liberal on issues like being pro-life. Here's one thing. In 2016, I know I said to him a couple of times when I saw him, well, you got to stop with the tweeting. Stop it, like everybody else told him. So if I was so effective at persuading Donald Trump what to do, he would have stopped tweeting. Now, I'll even go a step further. In the end, I think it worked out better for him to keep going because he can now reach people, you know, 100 and however many million people with one tweet and explain his agenda in his own words. Maybe 5 to 10% less would be better. It's not hard to figure out. Donald Trump is not hard to figure out if you just listen. You know, it's not hard to know where he's going. The one thing that you haven't figured out, he doesn't stop. And even my conservative friends that were worried last night, I told you that he would do this. Of course, we all know that the bill's garbage. I was the first person to see it, and it was widely reported it's garbage. But it's only a seven-month, you know, basically continuing resolution with added things in it. The president said, okay, he knew he was going to get these other monies, and he also knew that he, in other words, monies that he can now appropriate. He knew it was going to be a fight on the national emergency that he's going to win. But in the interim, he's got all this other money to continue the project while they're fighting in court, predictably, to keep open borders. It's really not that hard to figure out. Linda, does this all make sense?
Yeah, it just comes down to a lazy media who wants it spoon-fed to them, and we don't operate that way here.
Okay, so one of the things the president was asked about me and Rush... What did the president promise the entire campaign? What was one of his major promises? Building a wall. He did everything he could do to get Congress to go along, pointing out the importance, the need for that wall. Congress decided they didn't want to do what was right, that which they themselves supported in the second term of Obama. So they fought him every step of the way. Now, what's not reported is, okay, there's no path to citizenship in this seven-month bill. There's no amnesty in this bill. There's no restrictions. There were earlier, but the poison pills, as I understand it, in the final version have been taken out. It gives the president time in the interim to fight for the money. It raises great constitutional questions. Past presidents, you know, have used emergency orders like this. When you're losing 300 people a week to heroin overdoses, I think that's a national emergency. In a two-year period, if you have 4,000 homicides, I think that's a national emergency. If in 2 years you have 30,000 sexual assaults and 100,000 violent assaults, I think that's a problem. I've already cited all the varying laws that would support the president invoking this national emergency. So they'll judge shop it. They'll lose the first two rounds. But then if the Supreme Court follows the laws that Congress passed, the constitutional authority of the president as commander in chief, if they look at what's happening at the southern border, any intelligent person can only come to one conclusion that the cartels, the gangs, the drug trafficking, young girl trafficking into prostitution and other human trafficking, and, you know, gangs like MS-13, that we've got to stop that 2% that are doing this to our country. That's it. He said it. If you go back, I wonder how many times, how many times do we hear the people chanting back, build that wall? Now they're saying finish that wall. That's why it is laughable. You know, for whatever reason, it's just another backdoor way to take a cheap shot at the president. And he didn't do this because he wanted to do this. Well, he's got a lot of conservatives that disagree on this particular issue. You know, Mike Lee didn't think this was the best way to do it. And he explained why he thought he just had the statutory authority. Very smart argument. He would have done it another way, but he's still supporting the president on this. You know, other people were against it altogether. Part of it was the internal pressure because Republicans, even in the Senate, are so pathetically weak that they were going wobbly on the national emergency. And they insisted, well, if the president signs this bad bill, we'll let him do the national emergency and not say anything. Nobody reported that either, but that happened. Anyway, 800-941, you know, he's his own man. This is what people are missing. These are his views. He's doing everything he said he would do. He's fulfilling the promises he made to the American people. He's tenacious, he's unrelenting, and he won't back down. He's gonna find a way. I thought that's everything we wanted in a president. And you know what? Those are the values and these are the policies I've advocated for my entire career in radio and TV. So I'm very supportive of the ideas. Glad somebody's fighting for it and happen to like him personally. But the speculation is way wrong. Fake news. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. All right, so the president did what he said he'd do.
The only place they don't want to give us much money, $1,375,000,000. Sounds like a lot, but it's not so much, although we're putting it to much better use than it used to be. A lot of the past administrations, it was easy to get, they didn't build or they didn't do what they could have done. It would have been great. It would have been great to have done it earlier, but I was a little new to the job, a little new to the profession. And we had a little disappointment for the first year and a half. People that should have stepped up did not step up. They didn't step up, and they should have. It would have been easy. Not that easy, but it would have been a lot easier. But some people didn't step up. But we're stepping up now. So we have a chance of getting close to $8 billion. Whether it's $8 billion or $2 billion or $1.5 billion, it's going to build a lot of wall. We're getting it done. We're right now in construction with wall in some of the most important areas. And we have renovated a tremendous amount of wall, making it just as good as new. That's where a lot of the money has been spent on renovation. In fact, we were restricted to renovating, which is okay. But we're going to run out of areas that we can renovate pretty soon. And we need new wall.
I'm very confident. I mean, the fact that he has this interim money and he continues building the wall, fixing the wall, building the wall, which has been ongoing now for a couple of years, got a lot more work to do. We need a lot more money. And now we're up to, you know, some $8 billion now that will be available to the president. And while he has the money to continue the job, while the Democrats will be fighting it in the courtroom, that's the win. You know, let's see it by 2020. When we get to 2020 in January, I'll make a list, and I'll probably put it up every day on my website and put it up on Hannity, the TV show, and we'll talk about it on radio here as well. We'll make a list of everything that he promised and put checks where he fulfilled his promises. How much of the wall was able to get built because he now is willing, as usual, to go it alone. And I think it's going to be impressive. The proof is going to be in the puddings. So far, every other promise, well, he keeps them. Anyway, Chad is in Midland, Texas. Chad, how are you? Happy Friday, and we're glad you called.
I'm doing great, Sean. Thank you much for taking the call. It's always great to speak with you because you're such an irredeemable deplorable, just like me.
And I'm a smelly Walmart person. I love Walmart.
And having said all that, I'd like to reclaim my time on my talking point here. You know, Donald Trump, he didn't need any assistance or funding from Congress. All he had to say was, I have a phone and I have a pen. I mean, it was perfectly okay when Barack Obama said that. So I don't see what all the big fuss was about. It was perfectly okay when Barack Obama said that, when Democrats shedded any word of he was overstepping his constitutional or presidential power. But now since Donald Trump is in office, it is total overreach of power. So it's another thing where Democrats are what comes around goes around.
Mm-hmm. There's 30 right now as we speak. There's 30 national emergencies in effect, even going back to Jimmy Carter. The only time you've ever heard about it is now, although there was a big deal because Obama kept saying, I can't do this. I'll be violating the Constitution. And he said it over and over and over again. Then he did it anyway.
There are those in the immigrants' rights community who have argued passionately that we should simply provide those who are illegally with legal status or at least ignore the laws on the books. But I believe such an indiscriminate approach would be both unwise and unfair. When I talk to immigration advocates, you know, they wish I could just bypass Congress and change the law myself. But that's not how democracy works. Believe me, the idea of doing things on my own is very tempting. I promise you, not just on immigration reform. But that's not how our system works.
I'm the President of the United States. I'm not the Emperor of the United States. My job is to execute laws that are passed.
So he knowingly violated the Constitution in what he did, and, you know, not follow the law as presented. And in this case, though, we have laws on the books, as I've cited earlier in the program, that allow the president to do all of what he's doing, and the added impact of the national emergency, and the funds that he has been able to save from other areas that he can reallocate to building the wall and building barriers to stop, you know, international drug trafficking. And, you know, the fact that this is what the Democrats want to fight against, just like they want to fight for the right for a woman to commit infanticide during the birthing process. And they're advocating on running on a policy that we want to raise your taxes to 70% or higher. And that if you saved any money, we want another shot at the bite at the apple, and we want to be able to take more of what we already took. If that's their platform, good luck with that, because I don't think that's going to go over very well.
I don't think it will either. And Sean, the main thing is that he stuck to his promise. Yeah, it took a little longer than what all of his supporters would like. But one way or the other, come, you know, hell or hot water, he got it done. And that's the main thing. Now, let's say more of how individual these everyday people can relate to keeping their promise. I promised my son I'll take him on a trip to New York when he turned 10. Well, that was August of last year. And when it came time, I couldn't do it because I had just gotten into the oil field. But now we have spring break coming up in March, and so I'm still going to relay the promise. It's a little bit late. So a lot of people got to understand it's not the easiest thing to work with all the as Mitch McConnell would say, the democratic process. So he keeps his promises, and he's going to continue to do that for the next, well, I guess, 5.5, 6 years. And so he's got my full support. It doesn't matter. It's going to get done one way or the other. And that's what really is going to make liberals –
I want to see where we are in 2020, honestly. You know, I said all throughout this process, I was very clear, I don't care how he does it. I don't. I want the wall built. For once and for all these years, I've been on the air, and we have had one failure after another. This is a guy that doesn't like to fail and likes to keep promises and get it done. This is so easy to read if you're not in the bubble of hatred of Donald Trump. You know, you watch these people that think they're above what we do, which is, you know, we're press also, but we are the whole newspaper. They think they're fair, balanced, and real journalists, and they're not. They're obsessed with hating this president every move he makes. Even if he cured cancer, I'm convinced they'd still hate him. And they all talk to each other on Twitter and reinforce their liberal ideas to each other. And they got their little groups together. And I mean, I finally got so sick of it. I didn't even want to read one more word of these people. And I just go it on my own. And the fact that they obsess over who might or might not talk to the president or give an opinion to the president. You know, he's the president of the United States. What they haven't figured out is Donald Trump is Donald Trump. You know, ask Corey Lewandowski. Ask Dave Bossi. These guys, you know, they always would say, let Trump be Trump, because you're not going to change him if he's got his mindset on something. And in this particular case, he telegraphed every single thing he's going to do. Everything. Anyway, appreciate it. Thank you. Back to our phones. Let us say hello to Andy is in Seattle. Andy, hi. How are you? Glad you called.
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate your time. I love your website. I appreciate that. I just want to go to AOC, who is this environmental supposed person. And what does she plan to do with all the trash or the debris from all the buildings she's going to tear down? How is that going to work?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of mess, and there's going to be a lot of expense, and nobody knows how we're going to pay for it, do we?
No. She doesn't have a clue. I mean, to call it a high school term paper is probably a gift. I mean, when you go through this thing line by line, she's out of her mind. I mean, she doesn't understand economics. I explained to my 13-year-old son how taxes work and how the banking system works and how you have to peel the onion to the next level. And when you start taking 70% of the money from supposed wealthy people who would then have that money in the private sector in the banks no longer have the money to loan out. I mean, they just They don't get it, and it amazes me at how
Listen, so many Americans, they've been struggling for all these 8 years under Obama, and, you know, we've now got 1.5 million plus Americans out of poverty. We got 5.4 million new jobs created, especially 600,000 manufacturing jobs. You know, people are now digging themselves out of the hole that they've had because of the economic disaster of Obama, only president to reach 3% GDP growth in a year, and taking on more debt than 43 other presidents before him combined. So, you know, that's why, to me, the energy sector is so crucial. You know, with the, we have two pipelines now that are being built, the Dakota Pipeline, the Keystone Pipeline, and the regulations have been lifted. We're now surpassed. We're now the biggest, you know, oil gas producer in the world, surpassing the Saudis and the Russians. We're now an exporter of energy. Anwar is now on track to be tapped into. I mean, you got to understand, building the pipelines and then building out Anwar and then building and the refineries and capacity for natural gas and the transportation, we're talking like millions of jobs for people, high-paying career jobs in the energy sector. And then they want to stop it? It's like, wow, spectacularly stupid, because the rest of the world isn't going to listen or follow that stupid plan at all. And then, meanwhile, we'll be sitting on the most wealth any nation could ever have for its people, maybe besides Venezuela. And we're going to our own people will starve. The engine of our economy will be ripped away from us, the lifeblood of the economy. It is so spectacularly dangerous. And the fact that so many of them support it frightens me. And they do it, you know, under with bumper stickers and slogans and the promise that everything's free, that you never have to worry about a thing, even if you're unwilling to work. Housing, retirement, health care, education, everything's free. All free. Even government healthy food. No airplanes, though. Can't wait for the high-speed trains to take us all aboard the Ocasio Express to New Zealand. Wonder how they're going to build that high-speed train. Thank you, Andy. Appreciate it. 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. Ken in Oklahoma. Ken, how are you? Glad you called.
Hey, Sean. Doing fine. Thanks for taking my call today. I was listening to Nancy Pelosi, and I wanted to get your take on what she said about if Trump declares this national emergency and diverts money from the Department of Defense and the military to build the wall, what would stop a Democrat president from using a national emergency to take care of one of their pet projects, which is gun control or climate change? And I wanted to see what you thought about that, because
here's the problem with Nancy Pelosi, and it's kind of frightening that she's third in line to be president, not knowing the Constitution, because it's so simple. We have something called the Bill of Rights. We have the Constitutional Amendment Number 2, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Those words are actually in there. And national emergency in that sense, that would usurp the clear written rights under the Constitution? No, that's not going to fly, Nancy. You can't rewrite the Constitution with a national emergency. It was a cute little fear tactic. You know, it worked a little clever there on her part, but no, that wouldn't happen. You know, the president has the law behind him, numerous laws behind him. The president has the laws passed by previous Congresses. The president also has behind him his role as commander in chief. He's got the statutory language that specifically says, in the case of international drug trafficking, he makes the decision and can decide to allocate the funds to build barriers. So he's on sound constitutional ground in a lot of ways, but I don't expect activist judges to care what the Constitution thinks. They'll even cite foreign law as a rationale for doing dumb and stupid things. All right, Hannity tonight on the Fox News Channel. Why what the president did today is so good and so profound. Not for him as much as we, the people. It's about safety, security, life, and death. We'll have more on the latest developments. Yes, high-ranking, powerful people trying to steal an election, and then when they couldn't, undo the will of the American people. All right, have a great weekend. See you tonight at 9, back here on Monday. Yeah, we're working President's Day.